I'm Philip Graham. I'm the owner of Ear Trumpet Labs Microphones, and I design and build most of the mics.
We've heard a number of people in our audience at Music City Roots or in our radio audience go, what are those crazy microphones? And I'm sure you've heard that as well. So how do you introduce them to people?
Well, the main distinction about them is they're condenser mics that are designed to work well in a live setting. So they're really feedback resistant and really stable on a live stage. And that really suits them, particularly to acoustic music.
What was the key complaint from artists before?
Well, the main advantage of working with condensers is that you can give them a little more distance, they have more detail, a little more accuracy in the sound, but because you're going to get most of those advantages by using them a little farther away, you get into more feedback issues and more problems like that. And so either artists knew about that and had tried using studio mics in that setting and having a lot of feedback issues with that, or they had never really occurred to them and they'd never really tried anything. They just show up to venues, and what most sound crew people are used to, everybody kind of grows up doing sound for rock and roll, and so it's just a very different aesthetic, and they have a different set of priorities, and so everybody starts off plugging their guitars in and using pickups and using dynamic microphones that they're told to use as close as possible. And you know, those strategies make sense when it's a loud stage and a loud band, but they really, there's just no need to do those things when for a quieter stage and acoustic music, and you're sacrificing so much sound quality to do that.
How are the aesthetics of what we see integrated into the design, or is that slightly for fun and pleasing yourself as an engineer and as a designer?
Wow. It's so tightly integrated to the way that the mics sort of came about. I mean, I'm a tinkerer at heart, and I just started making microphones, building them out of sort of bits and pieces and scraps that I had in my basement. I'm not really a machinist, so I was a lot more comfortable building them by making them out of parts and pieces that were, you know, sort of largely already made, and then just doing fairly simple metalwork to assemble them. And, you know, and I happen to have a design eye, so I was paying attention to, you know, that they look cool when they went together that way. And so the very first ones, everything that I built has been sort of with that aesthetic in it. So it wasn't that I, worked on microphone designs and then was like, oh, and what would make this look cool? It's always been a part of the process. And that also ends up, you know, the details of the physical construction really do affect the sound as well, the tone and the character of a mic. A lot of it comes from the physical construction and the, you know, just the details of where exactly a capsule is placed in relation to the, you know, the bits of metal in the head basket around it and how it's suspended there and things like that. And so it has always been a part of both the aesthetics and the sound quality of the mic designs.
Well, you use two terms there that I think people would recognize just by looking. The suspended quality, that they're all on little springs, which evokes microphones of the radio days of the 1920s and 30s, and the basket, which looks like a little kitchen sieve there in the middle. Can you just address those two little components of it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, not all of the designs use exactly that those components anymore, but the first ones that I did used exactly that, and it was really the design problem of wanting to get the capsule suspended out in space with as little acoustic interference around it as possible. And again, just working with things that I had to hand as a tinkerer. And so I found these large T-balls. They're sort of 3-inch sort of large T-infuser that are acoustically transparent. You need to have a metallic mesh around the capsule. That's for radio interference. But so you're just looking for, I was just looking for the, you know, sort of the most transparent way to get the mesh for the radio interference around the capsule with as, you know, as little else there as possible. And the T-ball seemed like a great answer. And so, you know, then I figured out how to get the capsule working inside that T-ball. And then I was looking at this T-ball like, well, then what do I hold the T-ball with? And that's when I, you know, remembered these old mic designs from the 20s when it was really common to use these spring suspensions to hold them. And I, you know, just sort of put those ideas together and ended up with this.
It's fantastic.
Somebody told me once that most of the parts on your mics can be purchased at a plumbing supply store or a Lowe's. Is that true?
A lot of them can. There's a really an interested extended list of suppliers. We got restaurant supply places, the T-ball infusers, some of the rings that we then use to hold the springs are actually Flan rings. So they come from a restaurant supply place. There's lamp hardware, there's electrical conduit, and a lot of plumbing parts too.
What are you most proud of that your clients say about the microphones that would explain why we who love roots music have seen these proliferate on stages around the country?
Yeah, that's easy. The thing that I love to hear from artists is that they actually feel like they sound like they would sound in a room, acoustic, just playing in their living room. Like, when they feel that that's what they're putting across to their audience, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. And that's, you know, we hear from artists, and I actually see it when people are testing out the mic sometimes, and they'll sort of be playing with it, or they'll be at a sound check and kind of get a slightly puzzled look on their face, and then like, is it on? Like, are we? And then you cut the PA off, and they suddenly realize that the volume has just dropped, you know, 10 times, and they're like, they didn't even realize that they were being amplified. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. It's the, you know, that natural sound. We want people to feel like they're putting out as they would sound if you're sitting 3 feet in front of them in the living room.
Do you have background in folk and roots music that would put you close to the sensibility of those artists?
Well, in the sense that I'm what I call a front porch musician. So, yeah, I mean, to the extent that I play, I play sitting around in living rooms and play, you know, traditional and folk music myself. And my wife does. She's a banjo player and accordion player. And my daughter, I mean, I first started making the mics for my daughter, who's a songwriter. You know, Americana acoustic musician. That was what I was first designing them for. And then, you know, I mean, those tend to be the musicians that I knew in my circle in Portland that were the first people to sort of pick them up and start using them and trying them out.
So how far back does that go?
Oh.
10 years?
Yeah, like 9 or 10 years now. The company's been going for about 6.5 years, and I had been, I first wanted to make a microphone for my daughter Malachi. Yeah, probably 3 years, 3 or 4 years before that was when I first picked it up and started experimenting with it.
Philip, thanks for the time.
Thank you.